Teenager of the Absolute Nine. Twilight where life is lost in form. He is therefore unfit to cope with any phase of life or knowledge which transcends the plane of material things. The scientist has no comprehension of an activity independent of and dissociated from matter. Hence his sphere of usefulness is limited to the lower world and its phenomena. The physical body of what man calls null edge is science, the emotional body, theology, and the mental and supermental bodies, natural and mystical philosophy respectively. The human mind ascends sequentially from science through theology to philosophy, as in ancient days it descended from divine philosophy through spiritual theology to the condition of material science which it now occupies. Consider the great number of people who are now leaving the church at the behest of science. Most of these individuals declare their reason for dissenting to the dictates of theology is that the dogma of the church has proved to be philosophically and scientifically unsound. The belief is quite prevalent that nearly all scientists are agnostics, if not atheists, because they refuse to subscribe to the findings of early theologians. Thus, the mind must descend from credulity to absolute incredulity before it is prepared to assume the onus of individual thinking. On the other hand, the scientist who has really entered into the spirit of his labors has found God. Science has revealed to him a super theology. It has discovered the God of the swirling atoms, not a personal deity but an all-permeating, all-powerful, impersonal creative agent akin to the absolute being of occult philosophy. Thus the little tin god on his golden throne falls to make way for an infinite creative principle which science vaguely senses and which philosophy can reveal in fuller splendor. The primitive symbols now under discussion bring to mind the subject of alphabets. The ancient alphabet of wisdom is symbolism, and all the figures used in this supreme alphabet are taken out of the dot, the line, and the circle. In other words, they are made up of various combinations of these elementary forms. Even the Arabic numerical systems and the letters of the English alphabet are compounded from these first 3-10 lectures on ancient philosophy. Figures. In Oriental mysticism there are certain objects conceived peculiarly appropriate for subjects of meditation. One of the most important of the native drawings is that of a lotus bud carrying in its heart the first letter of the Sanskrit alphabet, the letter usually made resplendent by gold leaf. This letter, as the first of the alphabet, is employed to direct the mind of the devotee toward all things which are first, especially universal self which is the first of all being and from which all nature emerged, as all the letters are presumed to have come forth from the first letter of the alphabet. Thus from one letter issue all letters, and from a comparatively small number of letters an infinite diversity of words, these words being the sound symbols which man has employed to designate the diver sified genera of the mundane creation. The words were origin ally designed as sound names, and were so closely related to the objects upon which they were conferred that by an analysis of the word the mystical nature of the object could be determined. St. Irenaeus describes the Greek cosmological man as bearing upon his body the letters of the Greek alphabet. The sacred ness of the letters is also emphasized in the New Testament, where Christ is referred to as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The letters of the alphabet are those sacred symbols through the combinations of which is created an emblem for every thought, every form, every element, and every condition of material existence. Like the very illusional world whose phenomena they catalogue, words are slayers of the real, and the more words used the less of the nature of reality remains. In the Introduction to the Secret Doctrine, H.P. Blavatsky gives several examples of the ancient symbolic alphabets in which the mystery teachings are preserved. Writing was originally reserved for the perpetuation of the ancient wisdom. Today the mysteries still have their own language undefiled by involvement in the commercial and prosaic life of the unillumined. The language of the initiates is called the centaur, and consists of certain magical hieroglyphical figures by which the wise men of all lands communicated with each other. Tihi Enicher of the Absolute 11. In the primordial symbols of the dot, the line, and the circle are also set forth the mysteries of the three worlds. The dot is symbolic of heaven, the line of earth, and the circle of hell. The three spheres of Christian theology. Heaven is represented by the dot because it is the first world or foundation of the universe. In its mystical interpretation, the word heaven signifies a heaved up or convoluted area, and may be interpreted to mean that which is raised above or elevated to a state of first dignity. In a similar manner, the origin of the word salvation may be traced to saliva, though the kinship of the two words has long been ignored. Thus salvation signifies the process of mixing gross substance with a spiritual fluidic essence which renders it cosmically digestible and assimilable. Heaven is a figure of the superior state or condition of power, and consequently is the proper symbol of the supreme part of the deity, out of whose substances, or, more correctly, essences, the lesser universe is composed. Heaven is the plane of the spiritual nature of God, earth the plane of the material nature of God, and hell that part of existence in which the nature of God, or good, is least powerful, the outer circumference of deity. The Scandinavian Helheim, the land of the dead, is a dark and cold sphere where the fires of life burned so low that it seemed as though they might at any moment flicker out. Thus hell may be defined as the place where the light fails, or in which divine intelligence is so deluded by matter as to be incapable of controlling the manifestations of force. In the ancient Greek system of thought, Hades, or the underworld, simply signifies the physical universe in contradistinction to the spiritualized and illumined superior worlds. The Greeks conceived the physical universe to be that part of creation in which the light of God is most obscured, and darkness not as primordial reality, but rather the absence of divine light. Darkness in this sense represents the privative darkness as distinguished from the darkness of the Absolute, which includes the nature of light within its own being. So-called physical life begins at the point where matter DOM inats and inhibits the manifestations of energy and intelligence. 12 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Spirit, so-called, is only one-fifth as active in the physical world as it is in its own plane of unobstructed expression. Therefore, the physical plane is simply a sphere in nature wherein are blended four-fifths of inertia and one-fifth of activity. This does not mean that the inhabitants of this sphere are composed four-fifths of material substances, but rather that the greater part of their spiritual natures can find no medium of expression, and consequently are latent. Thus the spiritual nature signified by the dot is enclosed or imprisoned within matter signified by the circle, the result being the various ensouled forms evolving through the material sphere. It may be well to summarize in the simple terminology of the Alexandrian Neoplatonists, to whom the modern world is indebted for nearly all the great fundamentals of philosophy. If you will turn to the diagram at the beginning of this chapter, you will note three circles in a vertical column and each horizontally trisected and overlapped. The upper circle signifies the power of the dot, the central circle the power of the line, and the lower circle the power of the circumference. each of these circles contains its own trinity of potencies, which were called by the Chaldeans the Father, the Power, and the Mind. The three circles each trisected give 9 hypothetical panels or levels which signify the months of the prenatal epoch and also the philosophical epoch as given in the 9 degrees of the Eleusinian mysteries. By this symbolism is revealed much of the sacredness attached to the number 9. By the method of overlapping, however, the 9 is reduced to 7, the latter number constituting the rungs of the Mithraic or philosophic ladder of the gods, the links of the golden chain connecting absolute unity above, or within, with absolute diversity below, or without. The first trinity, the upper circle, consists of God the Father and the nature of his triple profundity, the second trinity, the middle circle, God the Son in his triple sphere of intellection, the third trinity, the lower circle, God the Holy Spirit, the formator with his formative triad which is the foundation of the world, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Christian triad, is synonymous with Jehovah, the racial God of the Jews, Shiva, the destroyer creator of the Hindus, and Osiris, the Egyptian god of the underworld. A study of the form and symbols of Osiris reveals that the lower portion of his body is swathed in mummy wrappings, leaving only his head and shoulders free. In his helmet Osiris wears the plumes of the law and in one hand clasps the three scepters of the underworld, the Anubis-headed staff, the shepherd's crook, and the flail. As the god of the underworld, Osiris has a body composed of death, the material sphere, and a living head rising out of it into a more permanent sphere. This is Jehovah, the Lord of Form, whose body is a material sphere, ruled over by death, but who himself, as a living being, rises out of the dead not self which surrounds him. In India, Shiva is often shown with his body a peculiar bluish-white color. This is the result of smearing his person with ashes and soot, ashes being the symbol of death. Shiva is not only a destroyer, in that he breaks up old forms and orders, but he is a creator, in that, having dissolved an organism, he rearranges its parts, and thus forms a new creature. As the bull was sacred to Osiris, was offered in sacrifice to Jehovah, and was also a favorite form assumed by the god Jupiter, consider the legend of Europa, so Nandi is the chosen Vahan of Shiva. Shiva riding the bull signifies death enthroned upon, supported by, and moving in harmony with law, for the bull is the proper symbol of the immutability of divine procedure. It is now in order to consider the subject of recapitulation. The vision of Ezekiel intimates that creation consists of wheels. Within wheels, the lesser recapitulating in miniature the activity ties of the greater. In the diagram under consideration it is evident that by trisecting each of the smaller worlds or circles, they are capable of division according to the same principle that holds good in connection with the three major circles. Thus, as the first large circle itself is synonymous with the dot, so the upper panel of each of the trisected circles is also symbolic of the dot. Hence the upper panel of each circle is its spiritual part, the center panel its intellective or mediatory part, and the lower panel its material or inferior part. The entire lower panel